Another letter from W.C. White, Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, October 23, 1899. Pastor G.A. Irwin, Battle Creek, Michigan. Dear brother, this morning mother returned from the Queensland camp meeting much better in health than when she left home about 12 days ago. This afternoon I had a long talk with mother about the educational work of the denomination, and she tells me that the time has fully come for us to make a general effort in behalf of our educational institutions to put their organization upon right lines, to insist upon their best management being efficient and based upon right principles, and to go before our people with united and earnest appeals that they shall lift from our schools the heavy debts which are crushing our educational work out of the position and form which God would have it occupy. Mother tells me that our present plan of making up the boards of managers of our schools so largely of ministers and presidents who are overworked with other cares and responsibilities and who can meet only two or three times a year for counsel is not the best way to secure efficient financial management or the best work in the schools. This plan throws too much responsibility regarding the financial management of the school upon the faculty, and with this arrangement, neither the school board nor the school faculty are prepared to stand against the various considerations that are urged for low tuition and a cheap, inexpensive management which result in lowering the standards and weakening the schools. Mother tells me that she has no sympathy for nor confidence in the movement which would cut down school faculties to that point where inefficient work must be done or teachers must be overworked. Our schools must be made the best ones in the world, and to accomplish this we must not begrudge the very best talent and a sufficient number of workers to make them what they ought to be. Mother tells me that the time has fully come when our people should withdraw their children from the public schools, and that it is the duty of farmers, mechanics, and the businessmen to put their minds, their physical ability, and their capital into the work of making our church schools a financial success. Mother is pleased to hear about the establishment of an industrial school at Cedar Lake and one in Wisconsin, but she says do not let these be called conference schools, for then they will be made too large, and by centralizing the attention of the conference upon one school, we may fail of establishing several schools in conferences that are able to support them. If I understand her thought, it is that each church should endeavor to establish a primary school, and that in the various sections of our state conferences, agricultural and industrial boarding schools should be established for intermediate students. But preparatory to and as an aid to this broader educational effort, we should as a people arise and make a united effort to lift off the debts from our colleges and older schools. To be successful in this effort, we must remember that the human instrumentalities can accomplish nothing without the assistance of the heavenly agencies, and that if we expect the approval of God and the cooperation of the holy angels, the organization and the principles and the plans of the school boards and school faculties must be faithfully and conscientiously brought into line with the instruction that God has given. Members of the school boards and members of the faculties must take time to study, that they may know for themselves individually what ought to be. As regards the effort to clear our schools from debt, Mother proposes that as soon as the first step has been taken and the employees of the school have shown their desire to lift the burden by accepting as moderate salaries as is consistent with their necessary expenses, that we proceed with the second step. As a second step in this great enterprise, Mother proposes that we ask our conferences to be more liberal than they have been in the support of teachers in the schools. As a third step, she proposes that we ask our publishing houses and other institutions, such as sanitariums, health food factories, and so forth, to make liberal contributions of their labor or products toward the schools. Fourth, that we go to our people in all the conferences, showing them what the employees of the school have done, what the conferences have done, what our institutions have done, and pleading with them to make large sacrifices that the good work thus begun may be accomplished. When it was proposed that Review and Herald should forgive the college a large portion of its indebtedness, Mother wrote in condemnation because this was establishing wrong principles, and this example would lead other schools and institutions to feel that if they could borrow largely from the General Conference, from the Review and Herald, or from some other institution, there was a possibility that that debt need never be paid. Now that the managers of Battle Creek College have squarely taken their position that they will pay both principal and interest, Mother is prepared to write to the managers of the Review and Herald, asking them to give the college a large donation by printing some popular book which may be sold, and the proceeds go to cancel this indebtedness. Mother says that she will make large sacrifices herself to encourage an effort in this line. She proposes to give to the educational work of the denomination all that might come to her from the sale of one of her most popular works. Since she made this proposal, I have been studying the matter carefully and of the opinion that her book on the parables of Christ will be the most valuable gift that she could make. It is a magnificent work and one that will be appreciated by the rich and poor, educated and unlearned. People of all nations, of all classes, of all stations in life will enjoy it and be pleased by it. And if it is properly brought out, I think its sale may be made to exceed that of any book that we have yet put upon the market. This work would make between 400 and 500 pages if set in small pica, the size of pages of Coming King, and printed in large edition. Its price could range from 3, 6 to 10, according to the style of the binding. It will not be profusely illustrated, but should contain about 30 good pictures illustrating the lessons taught in the various parables. At first we thought of giving testimony number 34, or the new book on education, but it seems to us that neither one of these would sell so widely and so freely as the book on the parables. Therefore, Mother gives what she considers to be the best. The plan upon which this should be worked will require considerable study, much more than I have had time to give it as yet. But I will suggest a rough outline to be considered and perfected by you and your associates on the General Conference Committee. 1. Mother will consecrate all the proceeds of this book to the educational work of the denomination. 2. We may ask the Pacific Press to donate the artwork. 3. We shall ask the Review and Herald to set the type and make 4 sets of plates as a gift. 4. Then we might suggest that Review and Herald print for its territory and Pacific Press for its territory, the London office for its territory, and the Echo office for Australasia. 5. We would ask all the tract societies to handle the book without profit. 6. We would ask all agents to handle it on a 40% discount. If the offered retail price of the work was $1.25, less cost of transportation, the gross receipt for its sale would be 25 cents per copy. This less transportation and unavoidable expense might reduce the net receipts to the educational fund to 60 cents per copy. Upon this basis of reckoning, in every 10,000 copies sold in District Number 3, the Battle Creek College would receive $6,000 for every 10,000 sold in District 1. The South Lancaster School would receive the same amount, and so also regarding the sale in the territory which the General Conference Committee should say belonged to Union College, Healdsburg College, to Walla Walla College, Graysville, Huntsville, Mount Vernon, Keene, and to the work in which Edson has been connected in Mississippi, so also in England and South Africa. Mother will ask the conference to publish an edition in Great Britain to be sold for an establishment of a school there, also an edition for South Africa to assist the Claremont School. The Echo Company will also be asked to print an edition to be sold in Australasia for the benefit of the Avondale School. This will be a large expense to the publishing houses, but is it not right that they should all unite to help the General Conference out of its financial embarrassment by clearing our schools from debt? 9/10 of the money thus freed by the schools will be placed in other branches of our denominational work, and every institution and mission will be helped. We will ask our brethren in South Africa to donate a translation of this work into the Dutch, we will ask of our German brethren in America to donate a translation into the German and the others with other languages. Then let us ask the Hamburg and Christian offices to publish editions on the same plan for the support of the work in other countries. Signed, W.C.